Michael Newton Abbey. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen. I'd like to make two points, first of all. It's easy to say a thing is wrong, but you can say it's wrong and not condemn it. Pat Sheehan has said that torture is wrong, but I have not yet heard him condemning it. The second point is that would he admit that what he did caused torture on the owners of the premises? It tortured them psychologically. Would he admit that what he did then was torture?
Does that make it right, what the British Army did?
No. Does it make it right? No, it doesn't make it right. But I'm not afraid to condemn it, Stephen. I'm asking Pat Sheehan to condemn it. I can equate the difference between saying something's wrong and condemning it. But Pat Sheehan obviously doesn't. Will he condemn what he did? Will he condemn that he... will he admit, first of all, that he caused torture in the minds of the people that he affected? And will he condemn the actions of the IRA and the torturous campaign that they brought upon the people of this province?
He would argue he was fighting a war.
Stephen, whether he would argue that or not is not the same as being condemning a thing and justifying it. He is justifying it just by saying it's wrong. To condemn it is to turn around and say that he's not justifying it.
Michael,
and that is what we don't hear. We hear double speak all the time.
Michael, thank you. Jimmy in Malad. Morning, Jimmy.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Doing okay, thank you.
Morning. I could probably give a list of 100 things to put to St. Pat there regarding stuff that the organisation he was part of carried out. But I know, and the listeners know, they'll get the same answer. We were in a war and these things happened. So,
well, the British Army were in a war too.
Yes, of course, and we'll move on to that. The question I would put to Pat, St. Pat, if he's still there, is...
He's not. He had to go.
It's continuously the word torture is the only thing, word being bandied about here mostly. What would Pat call what they done at Kingsmill? There's no military targets there. What would Pat call what they done at Taban? What would Pat call what they done to that poor woman that they took away, Jean McConville? If he wants to talk about torture, what name would Pat give that? An organisation he has just said he's proud of took part and carried them out and admitted it. What would he call... What would Sinn Féin IRA call that?
Well, Sinn Féin are a political party.
Yes, well, what would the IRA call that? Pat Sheehan just admitted he was a proud member of the IRA. If what he's talking about is torture, what is the name? Is there a word for what they done? Is there a word in the dictionary for what they done? Or do we just move on and continue persecuting British soldiers while people walk about with
Well, letters? If a British soldier has committed torture,
yep,
has undertaken torture,
no,
do you not think they should be prosecuted?
No, Stephen. Maybe he should get a letter that makes him immune from prosecution. Maybe that should be talked about. Would that be worse an issue?
So a British soldier waterboards a human being, electrocutes a human being.
Yes.
And you don't think that individual should be tortured, should be prosecuted?
IRA men have been on the run, wanted for blowing people to pieces, and I've got a letter saying they can't be jailed. Is that not a point for a point?
Stay there.
I'm very quiet, Stephen.
Stay there, Jimmy. Ned in West Belfast. What would you say to Jimmy?
Hello, Ned here.
Yes, Ned, go ahead.
I was just going to make a point. Birmingham 6, Guildford 4, Liam Holden. Many people were tortured and confessed to things that did not to do with. There are terrible things that's happened right through these troubles, there's no doubt about it. There's nobody can cast the first stone, as far as I'm concerned.
Ned, thank you. Peter in West Belfast. Morning, Peter.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Peter.
Stephen, I kind of come at it from a slightly different point of view, just in what is a terrorist. And for me, and I think it's kind of hard to argue with a point that a terrorist is a man or a woman who terrorizes. And if that is the case, and everybody can agree on that, then you have to include the British security force. And I'm really, really wonder about the unionists that come on when you're talking about the British Army and you what the IRA, the whataboutry of the IRA. They're actually making the two of them the same. If you talk about what the British Army don't say, but what about the IRA don't, they're making them comparable. They're making them the same by using things like Kingsmill, because there's an awful lot of people tortured that weren't in the IRA. They were just not. I mean, even the British Army will tell you their intelligence was terrible, that they used to round up whole streets, and all young males of a certain age were being rounded up. It's nothing to do with the IRA. It's to do with the people of this country that had nothing to do with anything, that were tortured, and do the people that tortured them deserve to be prosecuted?
Do you want to respond to that, Jamie?
If I go back to, I mean, would that caller agree? I think it was the final number. Well, I don't know if the final number was ever found out. 187, I think, was the final number. Would he be in favour of these soldiers receiving letters that makes them immune from prosecution? Or is it a one-way system, Stephen?
Sorry, what you've just done there is exactly what I said you're doing. You're comparing
Am I wrong?
The British Army to the IRA.
No. Listen.
That's exactly
Listen, the British Army and the IRA can't be put in the same sentence compared to some of the stuff it's proud about.
Comparison then.
The British Army didn't blow babies out of palms.
What about Monaghan and Dublin and Monaghan bombing? Is there something the matter with your head?
Oh, listen, there's nothing at all the matter with me. I must ask a genuine question. If Pat Sheehan and Sinn Féin is calling torture, what they done? Some of the worst things. And they have letters in their pockets to say they can't be questioned about it. Now, are you saying that's a fair system?
Listen,
we're talking about a system that is in place here. Is that a fair system?
I'm
presuming you're a Republican. I could be wrong. I don't know.
We're
talking about a system. Is that fair? Should these soldiers be persecuted?
Well, I think if you're asking them a question, let's let him answer you.
What he's continued to do is draw a comparison between the British Army and the IRA. And what I said at the start was,
I quoted three things.
If you agree with my definition. Now, my definition as a man that lives in Anderson's Town is that a terrorist is a man or a woman who terrorizes. Now, you think about how that includes, and you think about where I'm from and what I'm saying. Now, what I'm saying to you is, if you come to that conclusion, you must acknowledge that the British Army terrorized and therefore are terrorists as well. And it's you, as a member of the unionist community, that keeps drawing the comparison between the British Army and the IRA.
So you're calling you're calling the British Army terrorists now?
That's the point I was trying to make.
I'm saying anybody that terrorizes, in my view, is a terrorist.
So, as him as a Republican, would you admit on air that the Republican movement were nothing but dirty terrorists, on your logic?
Are you listening to what I'm saying? Saying any man or woman who terrorizes, in my view...
Well, that's good. That's a start. We've agreed that the IRA were terrorists.
Right, but what you haven't agreed is, therefore, by that definition, the British Army terrorized. They must be terrorists. So there's your double standard.
There's been different forms of interrogation. There's been different forms of questioning.
Torture.
That's what happens.
Torture.
That's what happens when people's blown...
Why do you call it interrogation and not torture?
...is blowing two-year-olds out of prams. What do you want them to do? Bring them in and say, do you know anything about this? If they've evidence that somebody blew a child out of a pram, say if it was me, I would hold a gun to their head till I got the information. It's as simple as that.
Well, I've heard
the IRA done with 1,600 people.
Listen, I've had a gun held in my head and I've never been involved in anything. And it was a British Army, an RUC man had done it. So don't be talking to me about having guns held in your head, because I've been there and I've been in my own house and been trailed out of my bed many a times. I'd had my front door kicked
tell
in
us
many
about,
times
tell,
as a young teenager.
Tell us about that incident. What happened? Obviously, don't name names. Why did you have a gun held in your head?
I was a young married man. I bought a house in Edmonton. Within a very short space of time, about 6 months of living in the house, my front door was kicked in. I was put on the ground and a gun held in my head.
Why?
As a teenager. Because they were raiding the street. The street.
This is the British Army did this, was it?
Well, there was a policeman who held a gun in my head. He was on my stairs, at the bend of the stairs, shaking, and I was telling him, stand on my underpants to calm down, because I thought he was going to shoot me. He told me to get on the ground. I lay on the ground, and he put a gun to my head. And the rest of them run around the house, searching the house.
Did they find anything?
No, of course they did not. Stephen, you're not... Listen, I have never been arrested for anything in my life. I am not a member of any political organisation. I am just saying it seems like common sense to me.
When was that? What year? Was that the 70s or 80s or what?
No, 1990. I was married in 1990.
1990.
My front door was kicked. And I was a teenager growing up in Amherstown. My front door was kicked in countless times. I got to a point where I wouldn't go to bed. Now, nobody in my family was involved in anything. Nobody in my family were involved or arrested or charged or had any connection.
Did you take a case against the police?
No, it didn't. It deduced it.
Stephen, how many in them years' doors do you think the IRA kicked in Anderson's town?
See, he's comparing the IRA with the old British Army again.
No, listen, you couldn't compare. You couldn't put the same two hard in the same sentence.
Stop doing it. We're on to talk about the British Army and you keep bringing the IRA into it.
Listen, if waterboarding's torture, come on to ask Pat Cheaton, he's away. If waterboarding's torture, what's blowing babies out of prams? That's what I come on to ask. Now, I think that's a fair question, and as I've already stated, the massive, massive difference is the people who blew the babies out of prams have letters making them immune from prosecution and are walking the streets, while British soldiers are being dragged through every court in the country.
No, they don't. They don't have letters. What they have is, they have a letter to say they have no information against them.
If there's new
information, they will be charged. That's what the letters say. Yeah. You're missing...
Why did they need the letters in the first place?
I think
when we're listening to this today, what's really interesting, because we have an election coming up, right? And obviously what quite a few people in our society in Northern Ireland are asking is, when you come to vote, how many people are going to be voting for Orange and Green, for their interpretation of what happened in the past and what political persuasion you are because of what happened in the past? And how many people are going to be voting for what happens present day? Well, because all of these things we're talking about are not happening present day, but there's the RHI, hold on a second, let me just finish this point. There's the RHI story, there is the health service and waiting lists, all of those kind of, if you like, bread and butter, day-to-day life issues. What are people going to be voting upon? How their candidate is handling the day-to-day issues or the past?
I'll be voting on the day-to-day issues.
You'll be voting on the day-to-day issues, Peter. Absolutely. You'll be voting, Jamie, on what?
I'll be voting. I couldn't stomach having people, as I've repeated, blue children out of prams in charge of this country. I couldn't vote for that. And listen, I'm no bigot, Stephen. I mean, I went at the beginning of the week and took my child round an integrated school. But I don't want to vote and maybe have a Republican leader and my own child be taught a rewritten version of history.
Both of you stay there. Robert in Belfast next. Morning, Robert.
Good morning. Look, history's been rewritten. It's generally been written by the British. But just let me say this. Was Mahatma Gandhi a terrorist? Was Nelson Mandela a terrorist? Was Bomber Harris, when he bombed the city of Dresden and 25,000 people were burnt to death because they worked in the local factories? You know, I mean, take your pick. All I'm saying is, Stephen, I listen to you, and I have to be honest, I like you and I like your show, you know, but sometimes I think, you don't know anything about Irish history either, because if you look back to the root of these problems, you would still see that they're still on the pot here today. I mean, and I go back again, because I said it several times on your show, the fact that Irish history is just laden with atrocities by the English when they occupied it, the penalty laws, the penal laws, where Catholics weren't allowed to be educated for over 100 years, couldn't own a horse, couldn't own property. They could have it if they became a member of the established church. Come forward centuries.
To come back to today's story, do you think the British soldiers who carried out waterboarding and electrocution of human beings in Northern Ireland should be prosecuted?
Yes, it's wrong. And I'm an ex-soldier myself. And just let me say this. the Mau Mau War in Kenya, it's not without significance to note that recently, I'm talking in the last year, the delegation from the Kenyan government to Westminster here to settle cases against, I think it was 2,000 Kenyan men who were castrated while the British held them in internment. I mean, check it out. Don't take my word for it. Check it out. And they got some measure of compensation. I don't know what it was, but it was all done behind
okay.
the door.
Robert, thank you. James next. Morning, James.
All right, Stephen. Blood's boiling here listening to all this rhetoric this morning. I have a couple of points. First point is that, you know, what we're doing here is rewriting history and upsetting and probably annoying a lot of victims whose family members or individuals were involved either through torture or through members being shot dead by either the Republican IRA or from loyalist paramilitaries, but also hasn't been spoke about this morning when the torture they probably done to a lot of people in the Shankill Butchers that has been failed to be mentioned this morning, but and also including the British Army. And the guy states about children being blown out of prams. I mean, you just look at the Muslim countries at the minute and the war that the British Army are involved in, along with the Americans, certainly are blowing a lot of children out of prams. Torture's wrong. I want to make that clear. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are, torture is wrong.
Do you draw any distinction between what paramilitary groups did in Northern Ireland on either side of the community and what the British Army did?
Well, first of all, I want to say this. In them years, I'm sure, I would have been quite young. A lot of Republicans in them areas and a lot of loyalists in their own areas probably would have supported people being tortured, because people from the loyalist community would probably say that it's right that either Catholics or other people within their own community were tortured for information or killed for giving information. The same that's happened in Republican areas, of where they would say that they feel that it was correct because it's either getting information or people giving information. And I'm sure the same happened in the British Army, of where information was given that shouldn't have been given, and they have probably done the same to soldiers. And I know a lot of soldiers, you know, who were involved in the conflict during the Troubles. And I can see the terror that individuals still have with either working within city centre or different areas. And there are soldiers who have patrolled this area. It's the same as I know a lot of people who were involved in loyalist paramilitaries who were involved in the UVF, LVF, Red Hand Commandos, as same as the IRA. But what I will say is, Stephen, is that a lot of people in this country will either know or have family members who's either being tortured or shot dead.
So you're saying
either of the three.
You're saying torture, no matter what, is wrong, correct?
Of course it's wrong.
If you think back, I made a documentary on it. If you think back to the Shankill Butchers, okay?
Yep.
And the horrific crimes yep. that they were carrying out on human beings, mutilating bodies because people were Catholics. Sick, yep. horrific crimes. If one of those Shankill Butchers had have been brought in to an interrogation room by the police, or indeed by the British Army, do you think it would have been for the benefit of wider society for the authorities to have tortured that mutilator to get information to stop the other Shankill Butchers carrying out what they were doing?
No, torture is wrong. It's wrong, no matter what,
so
it's
even,
wrong.
So even if it would prevent many other people being terrorised in that way.
I was listening to the show the other day.
Jean McConville, who went missing. If the authorities had have brought in some people who they knew where Jean McConville was in the days after she went missing, do you think it would have been right to torture those people to get that information?
Listen, I have no doubt in my mind...
To find a mother.
Well, I have no doubt in my mind with regards to McConville that intelligence services probably know where that lady is buried. And I have no doubt in my mind that in all aspects, collusion happens. And collusion probably still happens.
So no matter how many lives it saves, you're saying torture is wrong?
torture is wrong. It's wrong.
So
it's
even happened, if it were to save Libya, tens or hundreds of lives, it's wrong.
It's wrong, Stephen. I want to make a point here. You say there was a caller on your show, I believe, it was probably Tuesday, and it was with regards, if a paedophile was brought in, a known paedophile, and they believed that he had children, would torture would have been right? And people have come on and said, yes, it would have been right. You know, and a lot of people would be sitting here today going to themselves, would that be right or would it not be right? Their heart probably saying, if that was a relative, yes, it's right. Of course it's right, torture them. But their head saying, no, it's not. Now, what you've got to understand is, what does that do for wider society? You know, if you torture that individual, of what you have seen with the ISIS, what they're doing is, what the British Army are blowing them up, Americans are blowing them up, and other countries are blowing them up. So they're going, well, if you're blowing us up, we're going to blow you up. And that's what you've seen. You've seen it in France. You've seen it in 9/11. You know, it's a guerrilla war. People are being murdered. Innocent citizens are being murdered, created by governments. Created by governments, either the UK government, the American government, what you've seen with Donald Trump banning mostly Muslims coming into America, which is absolutely disgrace, because you're tarring everyone with the same brush based on religion. You know, it happened here. People were tarred with the same brush based on religion. You've seen it. You've seen it, Catholics. You've seen it, housing with Catholics.
Stay there for me, James. Stay there. Jim and Derry. Morning, Jim.
Hi, Stephen. I've been trying to get on for 25 minutes before the conversation started off about torture, and then it became about every single thing from cash and carries to everything IRA ever did. But the point, some of the points are made now. I've tried to say that Gregory Campbell made a point that torture could have been used because of the 400 deaths in 1972.
He condemned it.
He says about the reaction to the deaths and the mayhem of 1972. Why were no loyalists tortured? Why has it never come out? Why has it never been used? You just brought it into your own about the Shankle Butchers. And again, this conversation drifted so far that you says, what about Jean? What about Jean McConville? And you were just about to say a mother of 10. And you says, if they could have been brought in. What if the paratrooper who shot Joan, a mother of 8, had have been brought in? My friends, Paul Doherty, Dutchie Doherty, Big Jerry Doherty, family members would not be dead today, murdered on Bloody Sunday, if those paratroopers had have been brought in and questioned about Bally Murphy. They were allowed to kill a mother of 8.
But hold on a moment. What we're doing here is we're going way off topic, aren't we? I was bringing up examples in order to put an example about torture.
What about Joan?
Do you think torture is ever... Hold on. Let's focus this on a discussion we're having today. It's never acceptable.
Never.
No matter how many lives it saves.
Give you an example of someone who...
I couldn't care less how many lives it saves.
Okay.
What do you turn around and you say...
And why is it not? Why is it never acceptable?
Because you cannot quote the rule of law and then say that it's okay to break that law. You cannot keep quoting that the IRA broke the law, they were lawbreakers, they were terrorists, and then you quote them. Would it not be okay to break that same law?
Stephen, I know it.
Hold on, let me bring in William in Belfast as well. Morning, William.
Stephen, I have never heard as much rubbish in my life being talked. It was said that everybody wanted the past to be forgotten about. Everything go up. Now everybody wants everybody prosecuted, but not the ones who done the murdering and T-Bone and all the rest of these places. I would say, forget about the bloody thing. We've got peace. Well, a relative sort of peace. So, come on, not forget about it. Come on, not let live and let live for now.
Yeah,
every time I hear Sinn Féin councillor, MEP or MP or anything come on this, we want party of esteem. When do I get party of esteem? When do I get peace?
Well, you're saying you've got peace.
I was shot.
You were shot?
I get peace, yeah.
In what context? What happened?
The paras shot me.
Where were you?
On the Shankill Road.
Why did they shoot you?
Door.
Why did they shoot you? Why did they shoot you, William?
Because They said that they would treat everybody even-handedly. They done it in Derry, they done it in somewhere else, and then they says, right, we'll make sure the Shankar gets your test too now. They don't understand what we're coming from.
Where in your body were you shot?
In the chest.
So you're lucky to be alive.
Very lucky.
Three in your chest, did you say?
Yes.
Three bullets in your chest?
Yes.
How old were you?
I went to the court and I fought them.
How old were you?
I was 22.
And you went to court and fought them?
Yes, I'm in the case. And I can't understand why everybody else can't go and do that. I disagree with all these, the ones who blew people up on any side. On any side, I disagreed with. But if there was a chance that somebody knew information that would have saved lives, I don't care who they are. Should it be a Republican, should it be a loyalist, I would make sure that they give me that information that I saved lives.
Stephen, I want to give you an example of an individual who I know with regards to torture. This individual was tortured. He was one of the ones who was tortured in the Shankill Butchers. This individual does not get into a car, does not get into a taxi, does not get on a bus. He walks, and every 2 minutes, he turns and looks.
I can understand that person, but you've got to help until loyalists by the IRA.
No, 100%. And that person, and that's just an example I'm giving of someone who I know. So, William,
hold on. William, can I ask you this question? You see, in the upcoming election, will you be voting based on what politicians are doing, what whatever candidate it is doing for your present-day life? Or will you be voting orange and green?
I'd be voting orange and green because I don't think there's any other way to vote today. Because Sinn Féin do not recognise me as a person. I listen to them day in and day out.
Well, they would very much say they do, but...
Well, Stephen, and I, 21, were stomping running, I would have been voting Emmons.
Hold on, carry on, William.
All they say is that they want party of esteem. I'm saying the exact same thing. I want it too. So when do I get the party of esteem? When do I be allowed to go out and vote the way I should be voting?
So but why don't you?
Because I can't, Stephen. I can't.
Why not?
Because I know the first thing, if Sinn Féin get in and our first ministers and have got enough votes to do it and the SDLP will go along with it and the Lance will go along with it, they look for a vote in the border. I don't mind it because I think they'll lose it.
Well, now you don't know what Alliance would do, do you?
Oh, women.
You don't know. Well, you don't know. And nor are they here to defend themselves. Or indeed, the SDLP aren't here to defend themselves either. It's really interesting, actually. And Hold on, William. It brings us into another discussion, actually, that we should have. How many of you are going to vote orange and green as opposed to voting for how a politician is delivering for you on the day-to-day issues in your country now?